Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Chat of the Wild. In this season, we've been playing through The Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds. In this episode, we're finishing the game.
Oh my goodness.
Been a long road. Many, many dungeons. A lot of hardships for our friend Dennis here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hard mode Dennis.
Before we get into all of that, we have to actually go through the game. So, you guys talked about before, did you get all the My Mys?
I did, yes.
I did not.
Oh, okay.
I thought to myself, but you remember I had that, like, save crash problem with my version?
Sure, yeah.
Where I did a dungeon, I went to save, and it crashed, and this happened a couple of times, and I basically thought, I've been incredibly nervous playing through the game since then because I don't know at what point it's going to might just crash again. And it has happened a couple times. And I was like, I can't go enjoying hunting the My Mys, in these conditions. So I thought, no, I'm just going to let it be.
That's unfortunate.
It is, because I remember loving doing that the first time round. But yeah, anyway, there we go.
I do want to say I did what was the tower called? The Treacherous Tower?
Tower of Treachery.
Yeah, I did two of the challenges. What I realized is using that super spin move clears out like everybody really quick when you have that powered up sword and everything, because it gives you, I said before, it shows you the radius of damage, and that does the spin move with your upgraded sword. So you're doing maximum damage to this huge area. And the first time I went through them, I just each room powered up, let go, cleared the entire room. You can also pick up items with that same thing.
Oh,
so I was able to clear out like a whole bunch of stuff. And then at the end, they throw rupees at you. We didn't really talk about this. They do this funny thing where they have a bunch of moblins up on the around you, like the audience, and they're cheering you on. It's like a lower texture. It's like a 2D sprite that are surrounding them. But it's just a funny, cute thing.
Yeah.
I use that a lot in the castle in the end of the spin move, though the very end boss it didn't matter. I couldn't really do anything with it, but just wanted to close out talking about the spin move. Dennis, did you get a chance to use it? You got it pretty late, so
I got it after I beat the game because want to do everything, so no, I didn't get to use it. But I mean, it's nice. It would have been nice in the final boss fight, but Yeah.
There was a couple of the bosses that I literally, like the mini bosses that we're going to deal with, we'll talk about later, I was able to get in basically two hits with that. So it was pretty cool. So we saved all of the sages, and they had this nice moment where we ascended up to get our Triforce of Courage. We have our little triangle tattoo on our hand now. Classic Zelda thing for Link. And now we can just go to the castle. So shall we just head into the castle, guys?
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
When we get up to the door, we get a call from Hilda. And she was like, here, I'll buzz you in. she unlocks the seal that was keeping it in. Now keep in mind, like, she is the one that's trapped in there, and she's the one that's holding you, Ganon, right now. So it makes sense.
Me Ganon.
No.
No. Me Ganon.
You Ganon.
Me Ganon, yeah.
Me Ganon. Yeah. No, me Ganon.
Hey guys, did you know this game's amazing?
Yeah,
so good.
This dungeon is incredible.
It's so much fun. It's so much fun. I spent so much of this dungeon thinking, I wish all the dungeons were like this.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great.
It really is a test of everything that you've learned along the way.
Yeah.
Proper gauntlet. Increasing the difficulty of all the different sort of mechanics that we've been taught this whole time, but in a way that, like you said, Jonathan, I wish they had done this maybe on like the second half of every single dungeon that we did, you know, like tweak the difficulty a little bit more as they're doing here. But we get thrown into all this and there's just like a great collection of all these different rooms that have their own little puzzles to solve. Some bring in new mechanics that we didn't really have to deal with before that we had to just get a little creative with. But yeah, was there any standout rooms for you guys? Dennis, do you got anything?
Not really. I mean, did you guys find the red tunic?
Yeah, yes. That one was a little confusing on like how exactly I was supposed to get to that. I did have to look that one up.
I missed it entirely. Yeah. So when I wrapped the game and I went back to the start, the main menu, and I saw my previous save file, I was like, I'm just gonna have a little look and see like, you know, see how many rupees I got, how many hours played or whatever it was on my very first playthrough. And then I saw that I had this red tunic and obviously I'd had no recollection of ever getting that. And I was like, well, that's interesting. So I just Googled it and it was like, oh yeah, you find it in the final dungeon. I was like, well, I did not.
Yeah.
I did not. And nor did I miss it. But is it another damage reduction?
Yes. Even more right. So. You made it through without it. You know, we say that a lot. You made it through. It wasn't a required item. Dennis, I'm sure you loved it.
Yes, probably made very much so
the final battle actually possible for you. But yeah, in order to get it at one of the levels. So we're going to circle back because I have a lot to say about this dungeon.
Yeah, me too.
And one of the levels, there are two torches. Now, if you get the compass, you can see the treasure chest on your map there. There are two torches that you have to put out. They then create, when we make everything dark in that room, a pathway that we can walk across that is a razor-thin line that you have to tightrope onto the other side to get it. So, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But also,
I do remember that.
Also, when you do that, you can then stick to the wall, fall down a couple little floors, and then wrap your way around to some other room that's a fairy room. So there's like two things that sort of go hand in hand with getting to that platform.
Yeah.
I had the 3D cranked up this whole time on this one. They really were showing off the depth because there is a central tower sort of room that we're dealing with that as you ascend, you can easily see what's going on down below with even the enemies still moving around on there, which we get introduced to a few more upgraded enemies on here. You know, at this point, powered up sword and everything, they take as they're as easy to vanquish as some of the other ones that we've dealt with.
Yeah.
Especially with my powered up area of effect spin. But one of the first little puzzles that you have to solve is how to get to the platform in the middle on the first floor, and you have to go up and then jump down, and you get to see just, you know, you get to fall through there with 3D on. And it was like, okay, this is just so neat.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Yeah. There's a room that is entirely dedicated to you turning off all the lights in order to see the floor. And they do give you little guideposts that you're supposed to read because even with the lights on, that platform is still there. You just can't see it.
Yeah.
And so you have to go through this maze, but you can only see it when the lights are off. And when the lights are off, there's also this giant like wall that closes in around you that keeps you from doing anything. So you have to turn the lights off, count like, okay, I can move this far left this many times, and then I need to go up. Then when you turn the lights back on, the wall goes back in, and then you can make your way across. And that one was, again, just a great upgrade of challenge for this mechanic that they taught early on.
It's a really, really cool mechanic that, like, I don't think we've seen in another Zelda game. The turn the lights off to see, turn the lights on to see something else. It's, you know, it's a variation on a theme, but it's really, really good. It was nice to see that. I mean, this dungeon is obviously like a sort of greatest hits of the rest of the game, which I always love when games do this. Like, one game of note that did this that I really enjoyed was the original Kirby's Dream Land, where, like, right at the very end of the game, in order to get to the final boss, you basically have to do, like, a condensed version of the four previous worlds and fight the boss again, right. Which is basically what this is asking you to do. And it's just really, really good fun. And it's a nice little, it also serves as a nice reminder of, you know, of the adventure you've had. And you remember, like, all these mechanics and all these little tricks and all these items and weapons that you might not have used for, you know, a dozen hours since the first dungeon or something. You know, it's really, really cool.
We also get a room full of the crystal switches that go red and blue, and
the bomb room.
Yes. It very much is just like, you're going to want the bombs in here because you're going to need to toss bombs over, as well as, you know, set them as a timer for you to get over to this one spot. And just the amount of thought, like, you have to really be thinking through certain things. And at first it's like real simple, being like, okay, I'll get to this platform and I want it to go up, so I go up. But then we find the big boy bomb that follows us around. And we have to then escort that one all the way around. But we have to be careful because, like, your sword slash will set it off. So you got to be making sure that you're not, you know, just willy-nilly taking out enemies around you and then accidentally activating it.
That's brilliant. It's just really, really fun.
Yes.
Such, like, a good idea for it, too, because, like, you only really see it in, like, a couple other places in the game. And it's just... it's so nice.
The mad thing about that room is that the boss that you get to, the big worm guy with the tail, you start off on a little platform above him, and you can just chuck bombs down.
That's what I did. I was at one heart when I got into that room, and I was like, I'm not doing that room again.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember if I used bombs or if I just used the fire rod, because I used the fire rod a lot in this game since I upgraded it. But it was quite fun. Like, it didn't feel like I was cheating. It felt like I was like, huh, if only I'd had this sort of power the last time I saw you. You know, it felt a bit more earned. We fought that boss 100 times throughout all of the Zelda games. And in our lives.
And it's like in three different places in this game, too. So, like, you're fighting it a lot in this game as well. So,
spin move takes it out with two hits. Nice. I was down. I hopped down and, you know, I was yelling at R2 to turn off the compactor, but then just did my spin move twice and he was taken care of. And I was like, okay, great. This, I'm so glad I got this move. I enjoyed the journey that I needed to go through to get it. And I am loving the reward.
That's awesome.
So it's fantastic. One of the other rooms that we have is, it brings in mechanics that we haven't seen at all in here. And that is sort of the platforms that only appear as you get close. Zelda games have done things similar to this before, but this one in particular, we had to guide one of these rolling balls that I don't even think we've ever seen this kind of spike ball in this game before. I think this is like exclusive to this dungeon as well. Guiding it along the way, it just rolls down, right? It only goes in one direction, but you have to make sure that you're activating the platforms as it's going down there. Otherwise it falls in the lava in order to ping up against another one and knock it down and clear your path through that.
Yeah.
That room also then leads into another, their mini boss room. So I didn't say before, when we get into here, we have to complete four mini bosses in order to open the gate, which is the kind of standard fare for Zelda stuff too. You get there and you have to complete these things to do all that. Like Jonathan said, reminiscing about the past. We get into a room that brings up the spinning ground tiles that we have to dodge.
Yeah.
But it also lets us guide the platforms that come out of the lava up, so you could block with one side if you're strategic enough with it.
Yeah. And I used my shield. I used my Hylian shield.
I used my shield too, yes.
I did too.
You know?
Finally.
So that was good. Yeah.
My favorite part, though, is when you get done with that, you then have to also guide another one of those spike balls. But in order to do it, you do have to stick to the wall to make sure that you're close in proximity to keep it going. And this was one of these moments I'm playing this. I'm just like, this game is so good. Like, I'm just saying this stuff out loud because I'm just like, this is such good design. It's a shame that we're only seeing like this quality of the puzzles. And the game has been great throughout, but it's peaking right now. And it would have been nice if maybe we got some more of this quality stuff early on.
Maybe. Yeah. I enjoyed the fourth room as well, which is the hookshot based room where you're doing a lot of raft riding, pulling, avoiding wall masters, finding eyeballs, throwing them into hands. It's all very weird, and it's just really cool. Again, it's like really good mechanics, but executed like technically really well. Because I think, again, like, not to, well, I may as well, it's the last episode, that like the DS games had a lot of good ideas, but they're so poorly implemented and held back by whatever tech they were trying. God knows, it was awful. It was, but you get the impression that the ideas are there. The concepts are fun, but in practice they are not. But this, it actually has the, you know, has the technical grunt to back it up. And not that it takes a lot, but it just goes, okay, we can do this. So what can we do with this? This.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Funny enough, with the Wallmasters, you know, you don't have to wait for them to come grab you. If you happen to touch the lava, Link does bounce up in the air from the lava where his, you know, his butt catches on fire and he's like, da, 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 da. If you bounce up into the Wallmaster's hand, he will grab you out of the air.
That's so cool.
That is cool.
I was just blown away. I was like, I didn't he could actually just grab me out of the air. It's wild. It's totally unnecessary. Awesome. Yeah. One in a thousand chance that someone's going to be doing that in this game. But yeah, that happened there.
That's
very frustrating though with that Wallmaster is that the raft that we are guiding ourselves through with the hookshot, if he hits it, he will break it and it will fall into the lava.
Oh really?
Yes. So I guess I'm the one that had the most trouble in this room.
Yeah.
Neither of you knew any.
I had a few close calls, but no, I got through unscathed.
But yeah, this one, it also at the very end, just sort of capping off our journey with the Wallmaster, we're presented with three switches on the ground and one statue, and all three have to be hit. So you have to move the statue onto one, trick the Wallmaster into smashing down the button next to you, and then run to the third one to activate.
Yeah.
So
That's fun. It's fun. It's tense because it's a narrow margin you have to sort of bait and switch the big hand, as it were.
All while collecting two eyeballs to add to the statues at the end here. So we have to carry these eyeballs back to the statues to unlock the door there. Yeah, so at the end of this one, we had to fight
Argus.
The Argus again. This one, again, he's doing the same stuff he did before, but just I think he's technically a little stronger. But after I get the eyeballs pulled off doing my spin move again, I think it was three hits and he was down. Dang. So, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, it's quite a fun boss that anyway. Once you sort of, you know, who doesn't love plucking out somebody's eyes?
Exactly.
You know?
So after we do all that, we open the door. Before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll see what's on the other side of the door.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
All right. The four mini-bosses have been vanquished. We have been granted access into the final room. We get into there, and it is the study that we first came into when we teleported into the Dark Realm for the first time. And if you go through the void there to go back into the Hyrule, you get another fairy room. So if you need to get some more fairies, there you go. So you got that there. But we go up through this path here. Again, just real good, real good mood they got going here. There's like storms.
Yeah.
The music. I wanted so bad to be able to like hook this up like Bluetooth to like one of my good speakers. I don't want to put it in headphones because the reality is that the audio output of the 3DS isn't the highest quality.
Yeah.
But, they did a great job with it. I mean, it still has a bit of a hiss to it and like a buzz to it. So it's not the best, but it's better than Game Boy Advance. That's for sure. But listening to it come through the speakers here, I was just like, this music is so good, and it's just really getting me amped up. We haven't talked enough about the music in this season.
The music in this game is just so good, especially here.
Yeah, I don't know why. Like, it's been great the whole time. But getting like everything leading up to this, I think it's because we're given a path to walk with nothing else to do. And so all I could really do is actually tune into the music that's playing right now.
Yeah.
And it's not just the overworld theme again. But we make our way into this chamber. We see Hilda here. And she is, you know, telling us she's very thankful for all the work that we've done. But also tells us a little story about the creation of Lohrul, or the history of Lohrul, I should say. She tells us a little story about the history of Lohrul and how they once had a Triforce of their own and they prospered. But they destroyed it because they were worried that evil might do something with it. And then it turns out by destroying it, they actually destroyed the crux of their civilization. She didn't go into detail about how everything fell apart, but she was just sort of like, it's like that was almost like a source of actual like power for them. Like, it powered their lights and everything, and they didn't realize it or something.
It would be like, you know what? Let's put out the sun because bad people use it sometimes as well.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I think the idea that they were trying to get across for it was like that it was what was holding everything together, and because they destroyed it, it also destroyed Lohrul, and that's why like Lohrul's all cracked apart and you can't just go from like section to section, and like there's huge chasms through everything and all that. I think that's
we've heard many stories like this about, like, you know, if they try to say like, oh, the, you know, humanity is destroying the mana in the earth, and Mother Earth is, you know, hurting, and because of that we were seeing things fall apart and all that kind of stuff. So a similar thing, but with the Triforce, which they just called the Triforce. I thought they would give it a different name, right? Like
the Low Force.
Yeah, Low Force, something like, I mean, try, I don't know.
It is still three triangles, so
the Try Harder.
The Try Harder. I did also, so you say that, you say it's three triangles. One thing I did notice is that Hilda's staff that she has, which shows a Triforce on it, actually has four pyramids on it. What does that mean? What?
Whoa.
Four? What are the four
3D
pyramid forces?
Whoa.
For whatever reason, that stuck out to me during this cutscene, because she's holding it and I'm looking at it, and I'm just like, well, hang on, there's three. No, that's got to have four, because there's got to be three at the base and one at the top, and there are. So they're hiding some from us. They're hiding the fourth Triforce of sexiness. I don't know. What would be the...
That is the Tetraforce theory.
Are you serious?
The Tetraforce.
Are there actually... There's actually fan theories out there for this?
Okay, so...
God.
The fan theory isn't with this. It's with Ocarina of Time, and there being like the fourth triangle, the upside down one.
There we go.
No, stop. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
And so the theory with that is that there was a fourth one because it fits perfectly into the Triforce. So and then they removed it in the remake for 3DS, And so the theory goes that Nintendo wanted to like introduce a Tetra Force in upcoming games, and then they're like, actually, we made a mistake. So
does Tetra from Wind Waker have anything to do with this?
You know, maybe. Maybe.
We'll just leave it at maybe. Okay, that's fine.
Maybe.
Yeah, like Jonathan, I'm just sort of like, oh God, they really do have theories on this, don't they?
For literally everything.
Look, I've been down, I don't know how many hours I spent trying to find the Triforce in Ocarina of Time. Okay, like I have been down this route reading too much into this, where like as soon as you started bringing that up, I was like, no, I can't go back. I can't go back there.
No.
But as Hilda is explaining this to us, she also starts to unravel that her and Yuga were actually working together to retrieve the Triforce from Hyrule so that they could bring power back to Lohrule.
Oh no!
I forgot this twist. I forgot it. So it was fun for me, even having played it 10 years ago or so. But yeah, so then she summons Yuganon and tells him to go in and to fight us. No, Jonathan, not you, Ganon. But so then we have a battle here against Yuganon, and this is tough. He doesn't have, I mean, really only has one way of getting him. Although I tried using the ice rod for a little bit. It was doing some damage, but I still had to get close enough to him that his regular swipe was still hitting me.
I mean, I used I used fire rod and a fire rod right at him. And he would get, because he's so big. Mm-hmm. And the fire whirlwindy thing sticks around for a bit. It was quite good at doing sort of fairly sort of sustained damage. But then I just got a bit bored and ran in and just started slashing him.
Dennis, how many times did you die?
None.
Whoa!
I have done this fight so many times in the past that this fight, I know the ins and outs of it. I know every pattern, every attack, and I know how to do it. So it was really nice to have such an easy boss fight at the end. I say easy. It's not easy. It definitely was hard, and I was taking a lot of damage. But it was a lot of fun.
But you had potions on you, right? Did you use a potion?
No, I didn't use any potions or anything. I got down to like 3 hearts.
Okay.
But it was a lot of fun, and I wasn't really worried about dying even at 3 hearts. So,
okay. All right. Yeah. I didn't die either, but again, Jonathan and I are playing on the easier mode. So
yeah. I mean, I was pretty gung ho with my attitude because I knew I had like 4 purple, blue potions, purple. I can't remember whatever the ones are. I knew I had a bunch of those and a fairy or whatever. So I was just like,
yeah, I had 5 fairies, so yeah, I was in the same thing. Yeah. I was like, yeah, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
After we finish phase 1, then we go and see Hilda's upset that she was just like, you know, why aren't you defeating this little guy here with his abnormally large sword for his size? But
why are you bad?
This is where Yuganon just sort of breaks free from his chains and goes and says like, yeah, I've been doing my own thing this whole time. And he turns Hilda into a painting, takes her Triforce, and now he has 2 pieces of the Triforce, making him incredibly strong. So he powers up there, and then we get another fight here.
Something to say about like this cutscene, mm-hmm. and like how he like transforms, he like absorbs Hilda, and like he gets wrapped up in like her magic, which I just think is so cool because he's like doing like the same thing he kind of did with Ganon to fuse with him, but he's also doing it with Hilda, and I just think it's so cool that like Hilda's magic just like is there too, and like you can see it happening.
Yeah, they could have cheaped out and just made him bigger or something, or glow or something like that. And they put in some effort with this design for sure. But we are treated to a classic tennis match here.
Dead man's volley.
Yep.
I took forever to get the timing on this. I don't know why. It's like I was like, oh, classic Zelda thing of we got to bounce back and forth. And then I kept messing up and I was getting real frustrated with myself.
I reckon it's your over-reliance on the spin attack has dulled your senses.
Could be. Don't regret it. I don't have any regrets. I still beat the game.
Wow. Good. Good. I love a bit of Dead Man's Volley. It's always fun when that pops up in a Zelda game. Really good. Always fun.
But when we do hit him, when we do charge it up enough and he takes the damage, he recedes into the wall. And we immediately get a scene where Zelda starts talking to us through the painting. She gives us, they have done this a couple times, and they did this here. No fanfare for the arrow of light, for the light bow, which should be like an amazing sort of thing. They've treated it with reverie before in certain games. Like Ocarina of Time had a lot of that. The fact, like, you know, it was a big deal for you to collect this thing here. Wind Waker did it too, where it was just sort of like, you know, this was her special bow that she was using and they had all that. But we've had it before where they were just like, oh yeah, here you go. Here's a light bow. I believe Minish Cap did it at the end. I believe you get a light bow at the end that they just are just like, you get the light bow. And
Ocarina of Time, or not Ocarina. Yeah. Ocarina. Twilight Princess does it too.
Is there any fanfare with that? I forget what's the
it setup has for it. An entire like cutscene set for it.
Okay, that's what it deserves.
Where Zelda's like, it's like with Ganondorf racing towards them on the horses, and Zelda's like, "Oh, gods of light, give me this powerful artifact," and it's a good cutscene.
Back to me now. Yes, but. We are just given, she's just sort of like, oh yeah, by the way, here's the light bow. I just happen to have it. Also, it only works when you're in the 2D plane for some reason. Why I had the item to begin with, who knows? Only works here. When we do this, we can then go into 2D. We can stick to the wall. And now we can attack using the bow in there. The first time you do it, when you hit him, he'll block it. And then you need to, while he's busy blocking it, you need to go around and hit him in the back. Now, I remember the final phase and did that first and it didn't do anything because it just was reflexive in my head where I was like, no, I remember this thing and it just didn't do anything. So we do that. Then the second phase, he charges at us. So we can do a dodge. And then get out of there, go back in while he's in the middle of his charge and hit him on the back. And then the final one, you can keep shooting at him, but he'll just bounce off of him. Won't do anything. Then you just shoot backwards and we get a cutscene of the thing wrapping around. Now that I remembered. That's why I was like, I remember doing this.
It's great fun.
It's so cool.
It made me really wish that there'd been 2D, like, on the wall combat throughout the whole game, to be honest, because I was like, this is really cool. This is really fun. It's a whole other element to the game that could have been really, really clever.
What game really brought that to fruition though? Super Mario Odyssey. There were plenty of puzzles that did that were like exactly what I would want for this kind of mechanic.
Yeah.
So that is nice that we still got to play something from Nintendo. Could have been like some developers that were involved with that were involved with Super Mario Odyssey. Who knows?
Almost certainly.
It's very, very possible.
Yeah.
So we do that. We get the final hit on him, and which I always love. Like, we don't see this too many times in this, but he's blinking red. I went to an arcade recently and playing some of the old school beat 'em ups, and that was just like the thing that would happen with the big bosses is as you were doing it, they would start blinking red, and then as they were taking more damage, they'd blink faster and faster. I was like, it's just a strange thing that it's in these old school beat 'em ups and the Zelda game.
Yeah.
But he melts away and we see Hilda there. And did either of you go up to Hilda? No. No. So you can walk up to her and talk to her, and she just goes, that's like, it's just like a sigh. But we go up to Zelda's painting, and we get this lovely scene of her coming out of the painting and all of that. Then Hilda comes back up, and she is still, she's not done. She still is just like, no, I'm not giving up. I'm going to save my land, and you two are in my way. As she's about to do something, I don't even know what else she could do at this point. I figure she's probably ran out of anything else that she could do, right? But she's still determined. And I think maybe if anything, if she didn't, Link was just going to cut her down. How messed up would that be?
You know how bad I was hoping for, like, another boss fight right here? Like, she kind of still had, like, the other two Triforces on her. I guess, maybe, because Yu Ganon's gone now at this point, so, like, no. She technically has the two pieces of the Triforce, so, like, it would have been so cool to have, like, one final, like, section to that fight. And I was hoping so badly for it, and it didn't happen.
Miyamoto will never let you lay hands on Zelda, even if it's Dark World Zelda.
Or Puppet Zelda.
You couldn't hit her. Zelda. You couldn't hit her.
You couldn't.
Like,
yeah, you could hit on her.
that is just the thing. Like I said, I forgot about this. So when we got the heel turn with Hilda, I was thinking, like, wait, do I fight some version of Hilda? And no, of course not. No, because it's Zelda, technically. We can't fight Zelda. We just can't. We do get interrupted, though. Ravio shows up. And
damn, Ravio.
Where'd he come from?
Apparently, he's been watching this whole time, too. Because even Hilda makes a comment about that. But he takes his mask off, and we see that Ravio is actually the Dark World, the Low Rule version of Link.
Whoa! Mind blown.
That was a big surprise. Like, I don't think anybody at the time would have thought about that. Yeah.
And it also proves what I said at the beginning about how, do you remember what I said about Link
wearing the skin?
Wearing the skin of Ravio, and you
did
become
I leave that
him?
In? I think it was at the
yes,
end of
did.
An episode.
You left it in at the end, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's exactly basically what I was saying is Link is Ravio.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what you were saying. Yeah, you could have just said.
You said it in a really messed up way, but that's what you were trying to get across. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We also wondered why he was wearing the costume he has. And there's a big thing that I just forgot about. And that is in A Link to the Past, when we go to the Dark World for the first time, what happens to us?
Your face gets melted.
Well, no.
You become a rabbit.
You become a pink bunny. When you first go there,
it's
you
all
can't
nod to
do
that.
Anything. Yeah, it's just a nod to that. So
nod.
Yeah, that's why he's wearing that, just as a reference to the old players.
You love it. You love to see it.
But he just, you know, he pleads to Hilda because he was at one point. Hilda's guard in the same way that Link is Zelda's guard, but he abandoned her because he's a coward. His words, not mine. But also Hilda does point out where she was like, so you were just watching as I was getting beaten up this whole time and everything. And he was just like, look, I can't do anything. I'm just a guy that owns a shop. That's all I can remember.
I'll have a sword.
But he also explains that this was his idea to go into Hyrule to enlist a true hero. And it all comes full circle of why he gave us the bracelet that lets us go 2D, because that was apparently some magic that they had found in Low Rule that let them go through this crevice in this giant shrine that they have in their sacred. They said their sacred realm. It made it seem like it's actual, like a place with like GPS coordinates on their stuff, as opposed to like a plane of existence. But
it's probably a sky island.
Do you want to bring this on, Jonathan? Do you want to theorize about this right now?
No, I want to drop it there and leave.
I have had my brain really hurts when I think about the Sacred Realm in this game, because there's the Sacred Realm, and then there's the place we get the Triforce from, and that place looks a lot like the place that's called the Sacred Realm in Ocarina of Time. So it's like, what is that? Is that the Sacred Realm? And this is the Sacred Realm, and it's two different places. Like, my brain hurts thinking about that.
What if it's all a legend and these are just stories that are being told?
Maybe.
Hey, whoa!
Did you know that there is an Easter egg exclusively in Hero Mode? To do with Ravio.
No.
So if you go to the vacant house in Lorule, if you're in Hero Mode, you find Ravio's diary.
Yes.
And that's not in there in the normal game.
Oh. Dennis, did you read
this? I don't remember reading those, but I remember seeing
Allow me.
Please.
Because I've just got this up, as it were.
Oh, it's like the countdown. That's what it is. Okay,
yeah. So it says, 3 days to go. She wants to do the right thing. I want to help her, but leaving is my only option. 2 days to go. She's being duped. Doesn't she realize that? He's just a leech. There's no choice but to go. 1 day to go. I have so little magic. Enough to go there, maybe not to come back. But tomorrow must be the day. I may never see her again, but I vow to save her from all of this. 0 days to go. Did a poo.
Stop. I had goosebumps. That's good. That's really good. Wow. Yeah, man. I got my arm hair standing on end right now. That is wild. That's so cool that they did that. No, I had no idea.
Yeah, me neither.
But
I mean, no, that like
I've just found it out.
No, that reminds me like of how they did that in Breath of the Wild, like with the notebooks in that. So
Zelda's notebooks talking about a lot of that stuff there. Yeah, very cool, very cool. But back to the game after we get everything settled where, you know, Ravio pleads to Hilda that not like this, right? Right. Like, okay, yes, you love the realm, you all this, you will do anything for it, but not at the cost of destroying another one, because then we are no good than our ancestors that destroyed this world to begin with, right?
Because then we're no better than they are, than we are them, whatever. That, you know what I'm trying to say.
You had it the first time, yeah. So with the last bit of power that they have, she puts on the bracelet that we were using and turns up us into 2D and shoves us through the cracks. Yeah, it does a little floating around too for some reason. But then we pop out in our Sacred Realm. We're then given the ability to just go walk up to the Triforce and we get to go make a wish. What did everybody wish for?
Just for my save to not get corrupted.
That's fair wish.
It's a good sweet.
But no, clearly what was wished for was for Lorule's Triforce to be brought back. Big thing. I mean, that's almost wishing for more wishes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah. Apparently they don't have those rules. But
see, the Triforce is just you have one wish. It doesn't have any like restrictions or anything.
Except for like a time, like I guess what's the timing? Like per generation, like you have the person that made the wish has to die, and again, we're getting into logic of this stuff. There's no point. We get a cutscene of seeing Lorule where the ground is coming back together and all of that. And we see like, you know, oh, they are going to prosper. It's beautiful. And that wraps up The Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds. We get a fun credit scene that they do where we cut to all the little characters and they're having fun. So that's nice.
Absolutely incredible.
Yeah. So the game is done. I need to rank this. Jonathan.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this game?
Well, I say objectively, it's the best 2D Zelda game.
Okay.
Subjectively, there are 2D Zelda games that I enjoy more for nostalgic reasons. I think it's the best Zelda game between... I don't even know. If we'd have gone Wind Waker, Link Between Worlds, Breath of the Wild, I would have been satisfied, because that feels like the logical continuation. But having said that, I love Twilight Princess. But where does it rank overall?
Yeah, do you have your list? Is it on your list?
A Link Between Worlds was on from my podcast, O3C podcast.
Yeah, what is the podcast? O3C.games, right?
O3C.games.
Cool plug.
Mm-hmm. It was on my original top 100 list. I think it might have moved around a little bit when we did the the reappraisal and the addenda. There it is, number 64.
64. Okay. So yeah, 64th best game you've played.
At that point, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's fair.
Zelda games that were above it in my list were Hyrule Warriors.
Okay.
Which one? Which one?
The first one.
Okay.
Twilight Princess, Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, Breath of the Wild, Oracle of Ages, Link's Awakening, and Wind Waker. But like I said, those are my favorites as opposed to the ones I think are best.
Right.
Because I think, yeah. I mean, I played most of those games before I was an adult, you know. Link Between Worlds I played as an adult, so it had less childhood nostalgia linked with it.
It didn't imprint on you. It didn't imprint on you the same way the older ones did. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Dennis, how are you feeling doing a fresh playthrough of this one? Where does this sit for you?
This sits pretty high for me. I do really enjoy this game. It's definitely one of my favorites. When it comes to like what I think like best out of Zelda games, like I still do think Breath of the Wild is above it, but I feel like it's a close second.
Really? That's high. Yeah. That's that high for you. Okay. Wow. Yes. Okay. Wow. All right.
And then Twilight Princess and Wind Waker and et cetera. So,
I mean, I have my list. So now that we have now covered every mainline Zelda game on the show. So that's pretty cool.
Now time for the Tingle games.
here is my list that I've been building at the end of each season I go through this. So starting from the bottom, Spirit Tracks, then Phantom Hourglass, then Skyward Sword, then Zelda 2, then Zelda 1, then Twilight Princess, then A Link to the Past, then Wind Waker.
Ooh, that is bold.
Then Oracle of Ages, and then Oracle of Seasons.
No, that's the wrong way around, but never mind.
I don't know. Minish Cap, Link Between Worlds is where I'm putting this one here. I just decided that one. Then Ocarina, Majora's Mask, Link's Awakening, Tears of the Kingdom, and Breath of the Wild.
Interesting.
So that is my list.
Yeah.
For Chat of the Wild.
That's pretty good.
8 years in the making, finally got it done. All right.
Yeah.
Worth it. Definitely worth it.
But yeah, this game, it's looking back at it now and seeing what they were wanting to do with it, it did not get the appreciation that it deserved. It didn't help that it was, the 3DS still was never, 3DS was wildly popular, but it was wildly popular among younger demographics, right?
Mm.
So a lot of the older people that would be talking about things like that, it didn't really get the appreciation that it deserved. I feel like, although it did, I mean, they got like ratings wise, like if you look at its like online score, it got 10 out of 10s at a lot of places and everything.
Yeah.
But I feel like it dropped off, right? Like the game came out, people thought it was amazing, and then we moved on from it. And it didn't have any kind of lasting impact from that, which seeing what they were trying to do with it, the fact that they wanted to go back to what was like, you know, what created the standard Zelda formula with A Link to the Past, where they did that game and then almost every Zelda game that they did up until like Breath of the Wild was going with that formula, going back to it and being like, okay, we're going to take that, but we're going to tweak it. We're going to like really take a look at what made that game great and then add on to each of those things and manipulate it in a different way. And yeah, it's just an amazing game. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. It is. It is. I'd say it's definitely the most considered game since, I mean, I forget that the Minish Cap came out sort of like after the Wind Waker, or it was around about the same time, wasn't it?
It was after Wind Waker because it was inspired. The visual style was inspired.
Of course,
Minish Cap was 2005, I think. So, yeah.
2 years after. Three years.
Wow. But yeah, I think Minish Cap is absolutely brilliant. But I think this game, Link Between Worlds, feels like all of the design decisions and the game and everything in it was dictated by how they could make the best game. Whereas I think all the games up until between basically Minish Cap and this all had some sort of ulterior motive. Twilight Princess was to try and please all the people that thought that Wind Waker was too kiddie. Phantom Hourglass and Spirit Tracks were just defiant to say, we can make a game using only the touchscreen. This is what people want, so this is the only option we're giving them. And then copy and paste that, but for motion controls for Skyward Sword. Mm-hmm. And all of those games basically had, you know, were developed with some other motive other than just, What are we doing? What are we actually doing? Where do we see this game series going? How can we make the best game? How can we make the best sort of experience? How can we evolve the formula instead of like restricting it and sort of partitioning a whole game mechanic and making it an entire game? And that's why I think this game is so successful, because it's had so much thought and consideration, because it didn't, like, in the best sense, nobody... Like, everybody wants a new Zelda game, but, you know, we had Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask, 3D. Mm-hmm. Link Between Worlds came out between those, didn't it?
Yes, yeah.
It came out 2015, so yeah.
So we were getting our Zelda... We'd had our Zelda fills, you know, I think because of the diminishing returns of Phantom Hourglass, Spirit Tracks, and Skyward Sword, I don't think hunger was as big. I'd say it's probably the lowest hunger point for a new Zelda game at any from any point in the franchise, you know?
Yeah, I remember after finishing Skyward Sword, as much as I loved it, I wasn't hungry for more. Going back and replaying Skyward Sword, I understand why. It was just sort of like, oh, if this is where Zelda's going, I don't know. Like, fortunately, they didn't go in that path. While, you know, previous games, like, you finish Wind Waker and you're just like, I want more of that, please. And we because the game was relatively short, unfinished, as many people put it. I mean, they finished the game. They decided they were like, you know, we're just going to move with where the finish line is, but we finished it.
Yeah.
This one in particular, like going back through it again, all the whole time, I just wanted more. Like, I want like a Master Quest version of this, not the hero mode that is tougher, but remix the puzzles. Honestly, I wonder if there's some fan stuff out there that is done.
I was going to say, like, I'm sure there must be.
There might be.
But
probably some mods or something.
Is
there a Link Between Worlds randomizer?
Almost certainly, though. These kinds, they get a little bit more complex because you have to, like, it's not just like plug in a save file that randomizes it.
Yeah,
it's a little bit different. But though, what would you randomize? I guess there's still some fun in like the chaos. I guess like you could pick up something at Ravio, and then it turns out it's 50 rupees, right? Like, that's all it is.
That'd be fun.
There is a randomizer for it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know how the rando works, but there is one built for it. So,
because I know like the Ocarina ones, you have to actually like have a separate program running that pings into it and updates things on the fly. So that it's a little bit more complicated than that. But, you know, I still just want, I want like puzzles, right? Like the puzzles are what I want. I want it to be like, okay, give me something else that I got to figure out here. But
give me more.
Yeah. Anything else you guys want to say about this game before we close things off?
I will say this again. I would love to see a third part in this trilogy. I think 2D Zelda is wonderful. I think it is, you know, in the same way that 2D and 3D Mario games are so wildly different and offer very, very different gaming experiences and scratch very different gaming itches. A new 2D Zelda game, like not a remaster or a remake, but a brand new 2D Zelda game that's brimming with new puzzles and new ideas, and seeing how much further they can push all of those gameplay concepts would be incredibly welcome. Incredibly welcome.
Jonathan, have you played Blossom Tales?
No, what's that?
Oh, you were in for a treat. Blossom Tales and Blossom Tales 2. You look at it and you'll know exactly what they are.
Oh, yeah.
Blossom Tales 2 has really good dungeon puzzles. Blossom Tales 1 is a good Zelda-like action game. The second one, they go crazy with the puzzle designs, and there are some really smart puzzles in there. I had very similar feelings in the middle of it, where I'm just like, this is great. Like, I'm having to think in ways that I hadn't before. Dennis, have you played these games?
I have not.
Oh, fantastic. But... yes. Blossom Tales. They are very, very good. Really funny, too. Really well written. But those are some excellent games. Hopefully we get a third one from them, because those, I'd really like, they're one of my favorite Zelda likes for sure. And in the 2D.
Yeah, that's fun.
But yeah, I wanted to bring that up.
They're on my wish list.
Great. Dennis, anything else?
It's a good game.
It's a great
game. It's a good game.
Very good game. Well, thank you all for listening, and, you know, go whatever Zelda games you haven't played, go back and listen to some seasons for those. See where they rank for you. Jonathan, if the listeners want to hear more from you, where could they go?
I mean, check out my podcast, O3C Games. Go to our website, o3c.games. All of the subscription links are there. Links to our socials. You can find us on everything at O3C Games. We've got a whopping following on TikTok, so you can find us there. There's a link on our website to our Discord as well, so you can come and chat with us. These two people are in the Discord, so you can chat with all of us in there. And that's that, really. That's that. Why not?
Dennis, what about you?
If you want to hear more from me, you can check me out over on Twitch. I stream a lot of Zelda content. If you want to... you can also check me out over on YouTube. I have a ton of YouTube videos over there. And then you can also hear more from me over on my podcast, Whatever the Crap, where it's literally talking about literally whatever the crap. So,
all right. If you need to know the crap, there it is.
Exactly.
Thank you all. Thank you, Dennis. Thank you, Jonathan.
Pleasure.
And we'll see you with the next Zelda game, whenever that'll be.
Whenever that appears.